Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, with Jesus also? Isn't that nice? I wouldn't want to have the also, the stuff that you get with Jesus without Jesus. But I'm glad that I got Jesus, but with Jesus also freely give us all things. The most precious gift that God gave to mankind was his son Jesus. Now let's skip on over to Ephesians chapter 3, 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. Now, you know, when you pass a car, I mean, you could pass a Mercedes-Benz, and that Mercedes-Benz that you pass, that you just walked by, that Mercedes-Benz is able to get you all the way to New York if you have to go, right? But just because that car is able to get you where you want to go, is that car going to take you there? No, you gotta own that car and get it and activate some things to make it work, right? God is able to do anything. But how do you pull on that power so God will start to do the things that you need him to do? So it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. That's where I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get my mind renewed to the mindset of God. Not that I would be like God, but I'm trying to get to think the way that he would think, so I don't limit him in any way. I don't have any restrictions on him. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could actually think, ask, or imagine. Everybody say the word abundance. Abundant. Not just enough. Not just enough to get by, but we're going to get into abundance. According, first of all, he'll do abundantly before we even get according, but he'll do it that we ask. You know you're not going to get anything that you don't ask for. You're not going to get a thing that you don't ask for. The Bible says if you ask, you'll receive. There is many miracles that won't happen until you open your mouth and ask for it. Don't just sit there with your mouth shut. Ask God. You'll receive it. Be bold about it. Don't be afraid, but ask God for it. Then get faith to receive what you ask for. It said, ask or think. According to the power. According to the power that worketh in us. Say, there's abundance within me. Your miracle is within you. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Amen. So there's something working within you. You got to realize that your abundance is not necessarily working up here all the time, but your abundance is working on the inside of you. Amen. And many people are trying to work out their abundance in their head instead of trying to bring it out from their spirit. Abundance is within us. The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, which is Christ within us, which is the hope of glory, Christ within me, the hope of glory, is where the abundance is. Write the word supernatural abundance down. And that's what we want to be pulling on in this series. What does God want to do? More than you could ever think or imagine or ask for. Do you see God's will for prosperity in this verse? Do you see it? Do you see it right there? Now go to 3 John 1 and 2. This brother said, beloved, I wish above all things, I said above everything else. Oh, thank God for that. Pray this for me. If you ever want to pray for me, Pray this for me. Everybody's going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'll tell you exactly what to pray. He said, beloved, above all things. Yep. We always say this in church. Listen, why is he always talking about this kind of stuff? Because they preach about this kind of stuff. He said, beloved, above all things, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Say, my soul prospers, I'll prosper. Now that we know that the word prosper is kind of like the same word. Remember when we said shalom? Everybody say shalom. Meaning nothing broken and nothing missing. So when we can get to the part where our soul prospers, right? If we get into the thing where our soul starts to prosper within us, guess what? Prosperity will start to happen around us. Most of the time you lose your money. I say we start out blessed every day, but we have to pay for our actions. I think we start out with $1 million, but every word that comes out of our mouth, we're going to pay for it. Every wrong step we take, we pay for it. God foots the tab. I mean, it's not like you wake up broke and then all of a sudden you do something good and God gives it to you. Well, you start out with it, but you lose it. You started out, mankind started out with everything. Remember when he gave Adam the whole world? He gave Adam the whole world. So mankind, when man was created, God put him in the garden and gave him everything, and then he lost it. So he started out with us. So say when we start, we start with blessing. Moment you get saved with a blessing. But you got to learn to bring that blessing out and allow the thief not to steal from you anymore. What did the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, tell us God desired above all things? What did God want to happen for you? What does God want to happen in your life? Yes. To prosper and to be in health even as your soul prospers. So God is concerned about our prosperity. He's working on it. All right. What type of prosperity was he describing? What type of prosperity was he describing? Redemption from the law? What type of prosperity was he basically talking about? He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Many people want to prosper with just money. But money is just a fruit of prosperity.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Money is just one fruit of prosperity.
That's right.
There are a lot of rich, broke people out there. People that are in deficit right now. You go there and people look like they got it, but they don't have a thing. They can't afford anything. They can't afford to smile. They can't afford to give you a hug. They can't afford to do anything. They are controlled by money. It seems like the more they get, the poorer they become. The poor in nature, the poor in character. But God's will is that we would do this. And this is where many people miss it. This is where most of the people miss it. All they want is money. Money does come. But what you need is prosperity. You got to get to the point where you can get what God wants you to get done with or without it. A lot better to get it done with it than it is without it, right? But you can do whatever God tells you to do when he tells you to do it. Use what you have. The love of money is the root to all evil. And you can't serve God and also mammon, right? You can't serve God and money. You got to choose one or the other. And I said, how do you know whether money is your God? How do you know whether money is your God or money is your Lord, right? If money controls what you do, when you do it, and how you do it, guess what? You are controlled by money, and money is your God. Now, many people think money is the God of people that just can't get enough of it, and all they're thinking about is money, 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 money. Well, listen, if you don't got enough money and you can't do what God tells you to do, guess what? Money, so also, is your God. You wish you could go to this meeting, but you can't go. You ain't got no gas money, right? You wish you could do this. You wish you could give to the poor, but you can't give to the poor. Why? You don't have it to do. When money controls what you do, how you do it, when you do it, and it also controls how you feel, it becomes your God. I refuse to let money control how I feel. I refuse to let money tell me what I can do for God and when I can do it. I refuse. And that's where many people miss it. And you got to realize that prosperity, you will never get rich and you will never gain true prosperity when you have that mentality, because you'll miss it. You're going to put God in a little box. God can do it for you. God can do. God was God before we had George Washington. God was God before we had Ben Franklin. God was God before we put the little pyramid on the dollar bill. God was God before we had financial systems and all those things. You could still be prospered. You can do what God tells you to do when he tells you to do it. You can be here by faith. And many people give up because they think that prosperity is all prosperity has to do with is money. Money, 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 money. Money's good. We got to learn how to handle it and learn to walk in it. But you'll just be a broke fool with a bunch of money if you don't have true prosperity. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper even as thy soul prospers." It's not God's will for you just to prosper financially without having a prospered and inward soul. So God wants you to prosper first. Say prosper,
prosper.
First. Some of the last things that some of the people you know, money is just an amplifier of what you are. We said that before. It'll just amplify what you are. If you're nervous about your bills now, if you got a bunch of money, boy, you'll be a nervous wreck with a bunch of money. You'll be exactly where you are, but just in a greater extent. Some people, I mean, you seen them 10 years ago. You know, they didn't have what they had. Eh? They got more than what they ever had, but yet they're more upset, more worried, more stressed out, and you just want to remind them, look what the Lord has done. I mean, look what God has done. If I would look at myself 10 years ago, or when we first started out in the ministry, just here, with just about nothing, I would look at myself today and say, hey, God has prospered that person, because I would be more prospered than what I was then, because I didn't have different things that we might have had to do what God told us to do here. I'm right where God wants me to be, doing what God told me to do, and he will supply my every need. Does that, it can be better. It can be better, and we got to allow it to be better, but we need to have a prospered soul. There's nothing worse than broke people. And there are a lot more broke people, and broke people doesn't mean you just don't have money in the bank. You got to realize how rich you are. Are you rich enough to follow your own heart? Are you rich enough to follow your own heart? That's the riches that you really want to gain. What do you want money for anyhow? What are the desires of your heart? Are you going after things that really matter and things that really count? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper even as thy soul prospers. Prospering without a prospered soul. Prospering without a prospered soul. Make sure you prosper in your spirit and prosper in your heart first. And then when you get your stuff, it'll make a big difference. I tell people all the time, a dollar with me goes a lot farther than a dollar with most people.
Amen.
You give me $10, I'll work it. It turns into $100. Yes.
Amen.
I mean, you need to learn to flip it. When you're prospered, you can do those things. And you don't afraid. You got to realize that the word of, you got to find out where true riches is. You know, your faith is valuable. Your faith is valuable.
Amen.
People need to know some things. People need to get some things in perspective. And people need to find out where the true power is. God can do anything. And many ministries and many people are limited because all they're doing is looking at outward things. And they're not looking at the spiritual thing. And they leave God out of the picture. You never know what God can do. You never know what God can do and how God's going to move. But he moves. So he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers."
Yeah.
Is your soul prospering? Is your soul prospering? Prosperous living defined. To prosper means to succeed. To prosper means to succeed. To succeed in business affairs, a prosperous journey, or to cause to prosper and be successful. What is God prospering? First of all, I want you to realize this is one of the things I realize about my life. God wants to prosper us. But I don't even really look at it like that. Because I've given myself to the Lord. And if you've given yourself to the Lord, you've given yourself to the Lord as what? A vessel. And truly, there's only one, you know, there's a mission on your life. And when I figured out, I can receive as much money as I want to receive. I can handle all of it. I mean, I can handle millions. Why? It's because when God prospers me, truly what he's prospering is his plan. God prospers his plan. And many people that feel that they can't get prospered or that God doesn't want to prosper them is why? Because they don't have the plan of God. But when you get set in the plan of God and you know what you want to do, God will prosper his plan. And that's what all that stuff is for. Many people want to be prosperous, but they have no plan. Many people want to be prosperous without, you know, without knowing the will of God, without knowing the heart of God. I'm not saying you got to live in a shack someplace. I believe we should live well, and everything we do with God, we should do it to the best of our ability. Amen. But our mindset. Now listen, when it goes on, Why am I talking like this, and why am I saying these things? Because it's true. People got to realize this. People find themselves handicapped. And look at America. Look at all the stuff that we got in America. You know, look at all of these things, and you look at these kids. It's a mess. Because we're thinking that money's going to give us satisfaction. Money's going to give us hope in all these things. I look at money like this. Money is nothing but authority. Money's nothing but a seal, a sign of authority. And the Bible says, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. You ever heard that scripture, read that scripture? He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. You know that's a trick there. That's a trick scripture when you look at that. When I read that scripture, I started to jump up and down. Why did I start to jump up and down and get excited? Because what I figured out in that, it says, listen, you're going to get much whether you like it or not. It didn't say, he that is faithful in little, I will make them faithful in much. Say, let me tell you what, much is coming. But that scripture is really saying is, you want to be faithful when the much comes. There are a lot of people that get much. I've seen a lot of people that had little and they weren't faithful with little. And when they got much, they weren't faithful with much. So it's our heart, and what God is really trying to say, that listen, if you can be faithful with the little bit you got, walk, you know, you pattern yourself and you prosper your soul to the point to where when you get the big stuff that comes in, guess what happens? You'll be faithful with that. And we should start, don't even question whether you're going to get your money, because you are going to get your money. Don't even question it. Don't even question it. Don't even doubt it. Your heart, it good things happen, and it is coming. And what you need to do is prepare yourself for it in your soulical realm and in your psychic realm and your spiritual realm, that you can handle it, so that you would be faithful when it gets there. Some of you that are faithful with little bit right now should just say, thank you, Jesus. I mean, if you're faithful with your fives and your tens, you just start with your candy bar money. If you're faithful with that, you should say thank God and say, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you that I'm rich enough to be obedient in with this thing, in what you call me to do. What are we going to do? Exactly what God told us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. We're going to add anything? Are we going to add anything else to it? Right. No. We're just going to be faithful. We're just going to walk out. You know what? We're just going to walk out what God told us to walk out with. That's how you become content. See, many people get all strung out. Many people get all strung out. God knows what you need tomorrow. He knows what you need tomorrow. Many people want a bunch of money to get to a place they'll never get to, because they don't have the faith to get there. They don't have the character to get there. They don't have the mindset to get there. Many things that you want to get to a certain area, it's not your money that's holding you back from that area. It's who you are. You got to prepare yourself psychologically. Leave that other stuff up to God. You got to prepare yourself spiritually that you can handle and not fall back when God calls you to walk in that area. You have a journey and you have a destiny. First of all, don't expect to prosper if you're not going anywhere. I mean, prosperity means prosper you on your journey. If you're a go-nowhere person, you're a stuck-in-the-mud person, God is not going to finance somebody that's not going anywhere. You don't need any money to stay where you are. You don't need nothing to stay right where you are. You got to provide for yourself. God provided for the children of Israel as they were traveling through the wilderness. Things got kind of rough when they decided to camp out, didn't it? Didn't it? See, I don't understand people. I'm starting to get happy right now because I'm thinking about our circumstance. See, many people think when things get rough, it's because you went too far. Many times when things get rough, it's because you haven't gone far enough. Why are you going to go back and try to glean where you've already eaten at? Why are you going to try to go march back over territory you've already taken and burn down stuff and going on? I've already taken everything I can take back there. There's nothing else back there. I want anything I need. The only thing for me is a new frontier, and it should be the same thing for you. Don't ever be afraid to go forward. Don't ever fear to go forward. God prospers people that move on. That move on. You want to find a person that wants to get drunk, you find someone that's locking in their heels. You want to find someone that's getting ready to get broke and somebody's going to lose everything they got? Someone that's just locking in and holding on. It's hilarious. Watch. As fast as it comes in, faster does it go away. Are you understanding what we're trying to say tonight? Yeah, we're going to get on to the money stuff because God wants you to have a lot of money, but we're going to get on to that. But you won't be able to keep a lot of money if you don't deal with the prosperity of spirit and the prosperity of soul. Many people forfeit their blessing because they think that God's got to do it in a certain way. We're never going to get a church until we get big bucks. You don't know what God can do. You don't know how much you have. I mean, come on. Says who? All you got to do is hear God obey it and walk in that direction. It'll come your way. I just got to save up enough money, then I can get a car. You don't know what God can do. Says who? You just believe God and keep going. Start walking. And you start walking that direction. You do what God tells you to do. Don't you ever wait. Don't ever get locked in the worldly system. You walk by faith and not by sight. God can do what he wants you to do, how he wants you to do it. Don't you ever limit God. You'll blow every miracle you could ever receive. Don't ever lock the door. Just hear it. If you can hear it, you've got it. If you can hear it, you've got it. Nothing worse than people missing it. And you think, I mean, they just miss it. You know, they get all caught up. They hear something that God wants to do, and then they get off in the natural, and they get all sidetracked. Listen, if you wherever you whatever direction you were heading in when you got the word, that's exactly where you need to be walking in to keep the word. You just be obedient. Like you got your business, and you got your business, you got your stuff going on, and you think God's going to work that way. No, you do your business because God told you to do your business. You do your business because God told you to do your business. The prosperity is God's business. He'll prosper you in ways you can't imagine. Many people, you realize sometimes if you start listening to the Holy Ghost, what if the Holy Ghost told you to be a janitor? If God told me to be a janitor, I would get me a trash can and go to work. But that would not mean that God couldn't bless me. You don't know what you'll find in the trash can. I say, well, I'm going to be a janitor because there's going to be something in the trash can somewhere. I'm going to meet somebody or something going to come up because the obeying God, there's the blessing there. And many people miss it. You have no idea who you're going to meet. God will bless. I mean, who would have ever thought that Joseph was going to be blessed because he was thrown in a hole someplace and was a slave, sold him into slavery, and he didn't know that when he was sold into slavery, he was being hooked up. I like to hear some people think my life is getting all messed up and everything's all, I mean, it's just a mess. You don't know why your life is a mess. I always call it this. I like it. There are several stories in the Bible where it looks like things were getting worse and worse, and they didn't even know that God was in control, that they were being set up. Anybody being set up for destruction, you think everything, oh, we're ready to go down now. We're out of sync. This is it. We're all messed up. What a mess. And I always like to say, set up for hookup. Set up for a hookup. I'm not in that system. I quit that system a long time ago. I didn't quit that one. I didn't come too far. You can forget that. This pays off better. Now listen, it says this. Let's take a moment to look at the opposite side so we know that God wants us to prosper and that financial prosperity will also go along with what? Spiritual prosperity and soulical prosperity. But the most important part is spiritual and soulical prosperity. That is the most important thing that you can get, and you can make it on it. Now, listen, this is poverty and lack. The opposite of prosperity is poverty and lack. We can learn much about something, what something is, by looking at what it is not. Let's see what the Bible has to say about poverty and lack. All right? Turn to Psalm chapter 34:10. You got to let God bless you the way he wants to bless you, and you got to realize what he's doing and realize that your life is real. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That's a good scripture. That's a promise from God. It says, look, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Did it say everybody that prays will not want any good thing? No. Did it say anybody that just had enough faith? I just got a lot of faith. I just want to be rich. I got faith. Ooh, I want to be rich. I'm not going to suffer any good things. That's the thing with people. It didn't say those that seek prosperity would not lack any good thing, because we got a whole lot of people seeking prosperity. Seeking everything God's got in heaven. I mean, just looking for it. But the Bible says those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. You can make money coming to church.
Amen.
Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. First of all, you got to realize that God prospers you so you can seek the Lord. Notice the first statement that we made when we said about, we were talking about Adam and Eve in the garden. That first of all, that the conditions of the Garden of Eden was a place where God wanted to meet man. He wanted to meet man in a prospered place. He had the whole garden where everything was provided for him, and he didn't lack any good thing in the Garden of Eden. And God would walk with him and talk with him, commune with him there. God's goal for your life is to set you up to where you're not concerned about a thing. You're not worried about a thing. Everything's taken care of. Nothing missing, nothing broken, and he's just there communicating with you, right? So God wants to bless you so you can seek the Lord. That's why he wants to make you rich, not to make you happy. You should be happy, broke, or poor, anything. That doesn't have anything to do. He wants to have you prosper so you can just seek him and not worry about any good thing. Do you think God is in lack? Those that seek the Lord. See, that's what cracks me about people. Many people get rich, and then they get rich and forget God. I mean, they didn't know that God was blessing them so they could come to church. They didn't know God was blessing them so they could be free and not under the bondage of the world. I mean, this society, I mean, the world's got us, man, we got to work 24/7. Overtime, part-time, and then some. Punching that clock, I mean, that's a bondage. Yeah. God wants you to work, but not the way that this system working, the family away from, I mean, you can't even think about God. I mean, some people go to church and do work in church. Can't even get free. But God wants to bless you to where you can seek God with all of your heart, and he'll meet your needs so you're able to do that. That's a blessing. First of all, you got to realize that's the first thing you got to live in faith for. Amen. Many people want to live in faith for a new house. Many people want to live in faith and prosper for a new car. They want to prosper and live in faith for clothes and all of these other things. But the first thing you better believe God for is enough money and enough stuff that you can come to church without worrying about that your life's going to fall apart. Amen. I thank God that I'm rich enough that anytime I want to take a break to say, thank you, Jesus, I can pray as long as I want. I can read my Bible as long as I want. And I don't have to preach. I don't have to be a preacher to do that. And that should be your motivation. To where if something's going on around the country, you know, you hear teachings going on that you want to be a part of, you can just pack it up and go.
Amen.
I'm not telling you to be a loaf and a loser and not without a job. You're going to find out that poverty comes to those that are lazy. Lazy people will always be broke. We're going to find that out in Scripture. Lack and poverty. But you're going to find out why God wants to prosper you, because I'm going to tell you what, money without Jesus Christ is a pathetic life. I wouldn't want to be in any garden where God is not. This is a good life. I live in, I love my life. I love my life. I enjoy my life, and things won't get better because all God's got to do is add it. When you got the basis of it there, okay, I got my Jesus, I got God, ooh, that's good, I got the Holy Ghost. Now if I can let the Holy Ghost at least protect me, if I can stay rich enough just to stay with God, if I can stay rich enough that I can preach and do what God told me to do, prospered to do his will. Isn't that nice? Are you catching this? What true prosperity is all about? I mean, he doesn't want you to be prosperous like a drug dealer. I mean, what a miserable life.
Amen.
Just money everywhere you got to go. And the only thing they got left to do is they got all this stuff, and they're all alone by themselves. And the only thing they got to do, many of them kill themselves, kill somebody else, because it just shows them just how empty it all is.
Amen.
Those that seek the Lord, shall not want any good thing. Will those who seek God lack? Will those that seek God lack?
No.
Might have to wait a moment and believe by faith until you get it. But I tell you what, the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Didn't say you didn't have to ask, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Asking is not begging. There's a difference between begging. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 11. Thank God for being rich enough to be who you are. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Now we're talking about lack and poverty. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall poverty come as one that traveleth, and they want as an armed man. Lazy. You just love sleeping and slacking. You will never be prosperous. You got a covenant promise from God. You're going to receive something, and it's not going to be the promises of God. It's going to be poverty. That is a covenant promise from God. Sleep beyond the time when you're supposed to be awake. Stay in the bed when you know you're supposed to be awake. The day's going by and you laying in bed slacking around. Poverty will come your way. Why? Because you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Lazy people don't prosper even after you get money. Many people want to get a bunch of prosperity so they can be lazy. I mean, they want to be prosperous so they can't do the will of God. Do you think God's going to give you a bunch of money so that you can waste your life away doing nothing? So don't think that just because you get money, you're not going to do anything. The more money you get, the more responsibility you get. I mean, the more money you get, the more responsibility you get. And the more you got to work it. Just a little sleep. Just a little sleep. Anybody have just looked at your wallet and say, what's going on? My God, somebody's in bed somewhere. Somebody's in bed someplace. Somebody's sleeping. Somebody's sleeping somewhere. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. You better get your butt up out of bed. You don't have any idea how many times the phone rings and somebody say, my light bill's due, my gas electric bill's due. And I'm thinking, if you were at work, instead of calling me on this phone to pay that light bill, maybe you'd have half of the bill. The Bible says, those that love sleep, so shall poverty be at their doorstep. You bought it. You just want to sleep there, and then you wake up in the morning, you got breakfast served to you in the bed, and poverty's coming at your doorstep with a little rose on the top, serving you misery and everything that goes with it. That's the worst thing that people can do with their children. I can't stand it. People teach their kids to be like that. Sleeping. It's true. And you got to start people in riches, you know. What's the first step I take? Get up. Get up. If the man doesn't work, doesn't eat. Man doesn't work. That doesn't mean the man doesn't have a job, doesn't eat. Say the man doesn't work, doesn't eat. You don't have to have a job. Just because you don't have a job doesn't mean you don't work. Get up and sweep a floor somewhere. Go rake the leaves in the front yard. Go bake a cake for somebody. Get active. Just do something. Do anything, God will bless you. Move something. And people think just because you get in the ministry, I'm sure you understand this too, just because you get in the ministry doesn't mean you don't work. That's crazy. You'll go broke that way, whether you love Jesus, whether you got a little collar on the front of your on the front of your neck or not. I've seen lots of them. Just you think you got a little collar and a little microphone around your head, the biblical principles don't belong to you. You got to hear the Holy Ghost and do what God told you to do to prosper. There is no free ticket for anybody. Life is all about activity. Find out what God tells you to do and get excited about it and do it. Many people don't even know that many volunteer jobs can bring them prosperity. You just don't let the devil stop you in anything. That's why even when you get the millions of dollars that you believe in God for and you get the riches, go out and do something with it. Don't just settle. Poverty will come your way. Say, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be filled with bread. Anybody ever met people that broke? How many know some sleeping broke people? Characteristic of broke people. Characteristic of rich people, most of them get up. But 25 to 50% of the broke people you know, and I guarantee you can call their house at 10 o'clock. And they go, well, I'm just here. Hey, how you doing? Open your eyes and wake up. And see, people come to church, they wonder how to get out of poverty. And somebody said, wake up. Get up out of the bed. What's the first thing you do? What's the first prayer that you can contain? Oh, shalalahumahai. Ooh, hocus pocus, glory to God. And they just tell you, wake up. People expect the Holy Ghost to send 10 angels to their house as you're in bed going to wake up and say, here's the money you've been waiting for. He ain't going to need it. You don't need money in your dreams. You hear what I'm saying? You don't need money. You don't need money in your dreams. I mean, you're sleeping. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to wake up and be right where you are. That dream doesn't cost you anything. God doesn't pay for your dreams. Pays for your faith. Faith is all about action and walking it out. And I've never gone by anybody's bed and they were building a house in their sleep. Very few people do very few things in their sleep. Be quick and sharp about it. What can we learn from the ant? What can we learn from the ant? What are some of the things that we can learn from this ant that they're talking about here in Scripture? Save and harvest for a winter. Be diligent. Hustle. Hustle. Maybe we should do that and have a Bible lesson and just get a little ant farm and put it up on the front. And say, do me a favor. Go up here and look at that ant. You see an ant roll on their back on top of the hill? You know, go get that example. Go look at that ant. Go look at that ant. They can hustle. So we can learn from the ant. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15. I like this. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And we have some churches telling people to get poverty vows. Dumb! The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Poor is bad. Amen. And never good. Poor is just not good. You're not going to hear God poor. It's hard. Get out of poverty 100%. Get out of it. God doesn't want you to be there. It is their destruction. What destroys the poor? Poverty. And people get mad when you go to a poor city and teach them that God wants them to prosper. Many churches want to go to the poor and teach them how to live in poverty. That's ridiculous. That'd be like Jesus coming down from heaven to teach us how to live in sin. Because sin destroys. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So sin destroys us. Well, did Jesus come down to teach us how to deal with sin? This is how you endure sin. No, he came down and got us out of sin. Well, it's the same thing. We can, as churches, we should not teach people how to tolerate poverty. We need to teach them how to get out of it.
Amen.
If somebody's sick, they don't go to the hospital for the doctor to hug them. They don't go in surgery just because they touch them and it feels good to be touched in surgery. They're going there because they think somebody's going to make things better and they pay for it.
Amen.
Teach me how to get out. Teach me how to make it out. Is it God's business to destroy people? Is that his divine purpose? Is it God's divine purpose to destroy people? The Bible says, I've come that thou might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes but to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. And the Bible says that poverty is the destruction of the poor. Wow. So what does that mean? If poverty did not come from who? God. Who destroys and who kills and who steals? The devil. Oh, my. It's right here in the Bible. We read one scripture. Wouldn't that be crazy? He said, I've come that I might have life, life more abundantly. And then in one verse in the Bible, it says that poverty is the destruction of the poor. What destroys the poor? You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. If poverty breeds life and life more abundantly, then it's a good tree. And if negative things like destruction grow on that tree, guess what? That's not a good tree.
Amen.
That's not a good tree. So it's okay if you're broke and you're poor and say, hey, we got to get out of here. If I keep eating off of this poor stuff, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be destroyed. We better get moving on. Move on. I like this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. In Proverbs 11, verse 24, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse them, but the blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You can get rich just by being a giver. I mean, it just starts right there. Give something away. Loosen up. The liberal soul shall be watered. But you go out with some people, the bill come, and boy, you thought that they were saying that we're going to execute somebody who's first. I mean, you should be looking for opportunities to give it away because you know it's coming again.
Amen.
The Bible says that we should be blessed enough and prompt that we would be able to give into every good work. Say, good work. Not no good slacker. Good work. Good worker. When you find somebody that's out doing what God told them to do, that is a good work. It's a good worker. The liberal soul shall be watered. And there's he that gives out and yet increases. You got to be careful about that. No, you got to be real, real careful. Ooh, that's one of the lessons you learn. That's one of the lessons you learn. I mean, that's one of the things, and people won't ever realize that. They won't ever realize that you got to be free and delivered from money before you can make money. You got to be free and delivered from the fear of losing it and not think it's going to come back again. You better learn to control money and speak to money. That money can go and come when you tell it to come. You don't have to hold on to it. You need to treat it like a trained dog. You can send it out and whistle it back. I don't want a dog that I got constantly holding on to all the time. Back, 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 back. No, I want to be able to say go, and it goes. And when I want it to come back, it can come back again. I don't care how much it is. And that's how God wants to bless us and how God wants to prosper us. We're not blessed and prosperous until we get to that level. Don't you be afraid of a thing. Don't be afraid of a thing. It'll come back. It'll be there when you need it. It'll be there. I mean, you have no idea how many ministries and people have got shaking knees. See somebody in need, they start sweating. They are in worse trouble than the person that's in need. You mean I might have to help somebody? I think that's why God wants to bless us, with show people real prosperity and true faith so they don't have to be afraid. And that our confidence would not be in our riches, but in the power of God. You know, you can be to the point where the Holy Ghost walks with you and talks to you and he deals with you in certain areas of your life in the word of the season. God's been dealing with me in the area of finance and all those different things. And I really, the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you and direct you. When the Holy Ghost is leading you and guiding you and directing you, your money's coming.
Yes.
Your money's right beside you. Money will come, and money is coming, and money has come. Money is come and gone and will come again. That's how it goes. I do what God tells me to do when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And I do what God tells me to do because I desire to do it out of my heart. I don't jump for dollars and quarters and nickels and dimes. I'm obedient. And money follows the obedience of God. It'll be there when it needs to be there. Well, anyhow, talk about scriptures. One of the good scriptures we can encourage you with. How many of you are saints? How many of you are the righteousness in Christ Jesus? How many of you are righteous in Christ Jesus? Then we said righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But they don't know how to get it. Oh, yes, it is. Why don't you get it? I dare you get a revelation on that.
Amen.
He'll bless you in a wicked city. You can be blessed in a wicked city. You can be blessed in a wicked city. It'll come to you. Start to call it in from the north, south, and the east, and west. That belongs to me. Thank you very much. There's some people out there that really believe that you owe them money, and I want my money.
Yeah.
I'm going to start invoicing them. I'm gonna go with a laptop printer, you know, and take it with me. And as soon as I see somebody acting up, send them an invoice. That'll cost you. I just thought I'd make a withdrawal. I dare you to try it. I dare you to call on it. I dare you to call on it. I dare you to call on it. Watch. There was one concept in the Bible, or one concept in Scripture, and I call it the big switch. When the wealth of the wicked is turned over to the righteous. Before he comes, and everybody's shouting, you know, and thinking, Jesus is coming. One of the signs of his coming is the wealth of the wicked. I mean, because I'm not going to need the wicked's money in heaven. I can't buy nothing up there with the wicked's money. I'm going to need it down here. Say
the big.
Switch. And you can read in Scripture all throughout the thing. It says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the just, or stored up for the righteous. and it'll happen just like that. By heaven in my 30 days. Catch these foundations, first of all, that God wants to bless us to the point of Adam, that when Adam was blessed with all of his needs met before the devil got involved, that God was able to deal with him and meet with him on that level. And that's what prosperity does for us, okay? It says this, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." People that drink too much, over in excess, drunk, and people that are just gluttons. Wouldn't it be a tribute God just came to somebody and said, you know, I can give you this money, you put that cookie down. You know, but gluttons and drunkards. I'm trying to give him his money, he just won't wake up. And drowsiness, all those things are hindrance. These three things will cause a person to come to poverty. Man, spirit of alcoholism and gluttony is really addiction. Any addictive kind of addiction, you know, they just can't get enough. Always, I mean, gluttony, more, 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 more. Greed, more. And laziness. These three things are strongholds to poverty. And you can't have true prosperity and true abundance when any of those things are camping out at your house. Okay? If you like sleeping, it's okay to sleep. Nothing wrong with sleeping and being lazy, but you're not going to be blessed to the level that God wants to be blessed sleeping. Can you go to heaven poor? Yeah. You can be poor if you want to. If that's what you want to do with your blessing and just be poor, go on and do it. You'll be okay. It's okay. I mean, it's okay. As I say, you can go to heaven. You don't have to be a millionaire to go to heaven. It's free. My life is a lot better on earth when you're prospered. There are lots of churches going that way. They made songs for it. We need to get beyond that. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 through 34. I went by the field of the slothful. Everybody's got a field. Everybody's got a field. Everybody got something they can work with. Everybody's got something they can do. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instructions. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall poverty come. As the one that travels with a man armed. All right? Like an armed man. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He that tilleth his land. See, this is another thing that we need to learn about. You got to till your own land. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. Till your own land. Don't just jump on everybody else's bandwagon. Yeah. Any little new little thing that's going on, you're going to jump over there. Find out what God wants you to do, you know, until your land. God's got, the Bible says a man's gift will make room for them. God will prosper you in the land he gave you. Find out what you're called to do and do that thing. I don't care if they're paying $20 an hour on somebody else's property. Stay on your own property and work your land, and that's where you'll be blessed. If I do it this way, this will happen. No, God will bless you, and he will prosper you as you do what you're called to do in your own territory, in your own way. That's where prosperity will come. Are you understanding that? He that tilleth his land, circle his land, shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Here's a good scripture. It's a real good. Anybody following after vain persons and went broke? Jumped on somebody else's bandwagon. Over here, this is the new hot thing. Woo, this is hot. Come on. We all going to get rich. Woo, yeah. Woo, money. We got it now. We got it now. No, I don't care. It might look good over there. I'm going to stay in the land where God put me in my own spirit, out of my own heart. I'm not going to be led astray by what's happening across town. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to be blessed right in this thing. He that tilleth his own land shall have plenty of land, and he that followeth vain persons, over here, distractions, shall have poverty. We're finding out what causes us not to prosper. Vain persons. A faithful man, a faith-filled man, or a faith-filled woman shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Listen, don't rush prosperity. It's already in hot pursuit after you. It's coming. Worrying about when it's going to get here is a lack of faith. He that hasteneth to be rich. See, we got to learn this. Many people wear themselves out, hasten themselves to be rich. What are you going to do other than what you're doing now? You are rich enough to do what God told you to do today. Period, point blank. Many people aren't doing what God told them to do today. There was somebody around the corner, somebody right in your office. There was somebody who needed a candy bar. Somebody needed some change at the grocery store. And we were so strung out, hastening to be rich, we couldn't even think to be rich where we are right now. There are certain people who don't even know how to live. Rushing to be rich. Can't focus, can't think. Strung out. Don't hasten to be rich. It'll come. You can't rush it because it's coming from God anyhow. Don't rush it. How many of you, your stature can change one little piece of hair on your head, the color of the hair on your head? You can't do it. Can you add it? Can you speak to yourself and say grow and you expect to grow? No? Well, listen. This is a good thing. I read the thing. Everybody say the word set time. There's a set time for your prosperity. First of all, I even hate saying it that way because people forget that they're already prospered. Makes me so mad about people. They don't understand what true prosperity is. They're already prospering. What'd you do today? Nothing, you broke thing. You know, what did you do today? Were you rich enough to do what God wanted you to do today? Or were you so poor because you were worried about tomorrow? There's a set time. Like the Lord told you, when you need it, it'll be there. Be rich enough to believe it. Chill out and take some faith. Go get a cup of tea. Go buy somebody some lunch. Stop biting your fingernails, chasing vain person, jumping into this and jumping into that and going crazy. Live. Be rich. Practice. What I want you to realize that you, first of all, you're going to get the big bucks. And I believe that prosperity does involve millions. I believe that it does involve millions. I'm not one of those that say, oh, you're rich, just do what you know. I know that. I know how much I got in my wallet. I know rich is rich. You know, we're not trying to wash something over on you, but rich is rich. But you got to realize, first of all, you are already blessed and already prospering. How rich am I? I'm rich enough to talk to you about being rich. Amen. How rich are you? Did you do what God wanted you to do today, or were you strung out? Well, you're rich enough to live from the inside out instead of from this and from fear and anxiety. Loaded. As your soul prospers, so, as a man thinketh, so is he. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. What type of person shall have plenty? Who's going to have a lot? The liberal soul will have plenty. Who will have poverty? The one that holds on to it. Going to be the most broke person you feel. Now stay in bed. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curses. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27 says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Now you got to find out what poor are. There are some people that are poor. There are some people that are stupid. Amen. You got to know the difference between poor. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curses. Don't ever hide your eye from responsibility. Amen. Act like you don't see no people are in need. Oh, come on. Who will suffer lack? Who will suffer lack? Those that give to the poor will never suffer lack. You see somebody on that street corner and make an investment. They might take you to the liquor store. I won't be in lack. Whenever your heart leads you to do something, do it. Ain't going to take you nothing to wind down a window and give somebody a dollar. Stop making excuses. I might do this with it. So might you. It's not going to cost you anything to be nice and to be a blessing to somebody. Make it a point to be a blessing. Go out. You want to see how rich you are? Go out and find somebody that don't got what you got and make something happen. I dare you to go up to the grocery store. Why don't you practice this? I dare you to go to the grocery store and pay for your groceries and wait for the person behind you and leave enough money to pay for theirs too. You ever done that? Are you rich enough to do whatever God tells you to do without thinking twice? Toll booth. Yeah. Are you that blessed that you can do what God tells you to do, when he tells you to do, how he tells you to do it? It is evident from these passages, poverty and lack, that God is not the author of either of them. Okay? In fact, it is quite clear that a person who lacks discipline, wisdom, and a strong work ethic, will bring poverty upon himself or herself. God expects us to work diligently. Now that we know God wants us to prosper, we must determine from the Bible God's definition of prosperity, okay? God's definition of prosperity. We'll find out God uses a variety of terms and examples to define prosperity. And first of all, there are four basic areas of prosperity that we're going to be looking at. Okay? One, spiritual blessing. Write it down. You're not prospering until you have spiritual blessing. That's what we were basically talking about tonight. Spiritual blessing and blessing on the inside, prospered in soul. Spiritual blessing is the first. Two, thank God for material blessing. And somebody said, that's what I came for. And the material stuff. We got that. Got it. And then talk about the money. Then we have three, financial blessings. Four, relational blessings. And prosperity also includes physical blessings of our health. And of healing. Say, I will experience all the four areas of prosperity in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.